Our scripture this morning comes from Luke's Gospel. It's the infamous song that Mary sings in response to Elizabeth's greeting when Mary goes to visit her. This is after she has conceived according to the angel's promise. Elizabeth has just exclaimed of Mary's blessedness as the mother of God and Mary's blessedness for believing the angel. So hear now Mary's song from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Have you ever been so overjoyed that you spontaneously burst into song? I can't say that it's happened to me too often, but I can think of a few occasions where I experienced this type of joy. One such occasion was when I was out on a long-distance hike. I'd been out for about 15 days and was overwhelmed with the beauty of God's creation. The heavens were surely declaring the glory of God, and I was able to join in their song. Another occasion was the result of a letter that I received from a gentleman I'd been working with, who was recovering from addiction, telling me that he'd gotten his life back, that he had experienced very real resurrection. This Sunday of joy, we now look to the joy of Mary at the impending birth of the Lord. Now we know this story well, the story of Christmas and the joy of Christmas, but I also want to take us back to Mary's time and to Mary's circumstance and explore just how meaningful this song is. Imagine you're 13 years old, and an angel tells you you're going to become pregnant by the Holy Spirit. How would you feel in that moment? I'm guessing there might be many emotions, but joy? It certainly wouldn't be my first response. I think terror would capture my 13-year-old self pretty well. What would my parents say? My siblings, my friends, my extended family, my religious community. How would I explain this to my betrothed? I'm not ready to be a mom. I'm barely mitzvahed, still a child. What am I going to do? Mary would have been well aware of the danger of being found pregnant by someone other than her betrothed. It would mean eternal shame upon her and her family, a concept that we struggle with in Western culture. But a shame that would run so deep as to squelch any chance of living in the community. It would mean loss of income, loss of safety, loss of ability to live. And for Mary, it would not be outside the realm of the possibility that it would cost her her life. Can you imagine it? And yet, Mary accepts the angel's words, believes that God is going to do just as God has promised, and that God will take care of her. The talk of the town surely would be that Mary had been promiscuous, that she was no longer pure. By God's providence, Joseph believes the message of the angel too. And for her protection, she sets off to spend several months with her cousin Elizabeth, who is also pregnant with a miracle baby. A few verses earlier, we learn of Zechariah's response to God's promise of a child to Elizabeth. Unlike Mary, Zechariah doubts God's promise, and as a result, he's made mute. This speaks volumes about faith. Zechariah, an educated priest who knew well the history of God opening barren wombs, a prominent religious figure in his town, is one whom we would expect to believe God when God speaks. That would make sense. Yet Zechariah is the one who doubts and becomes mute. His muteness is not merely punishment, but an opportunity to reflect, to study God's word, to repent and to prepare for God's messenger, his own son. Zechariah, while stilted to the message from God, uses his time of muteness to grow closer to God as well. Meanwhile, a teenager who's barely of childbearing age believes and sings for joy. You see, Mary was open to the unexpected. Her song is steeped in the unexpected. She begins by talking about herself as the lowly servant whom God has looked on with favor. She talks about God's ability to scatter the proud and to bring down the powerful, to send the rich away empty, to lift up the lowly and fill the hungry, to give strength to the weak. Mary is talking not only about herself in this song, but about the whole of the people of Israel, who have struggled generation after generation against the oppression of foreign nations. She speaks of a God who sees and cares for the marginalized and oppressed, a God who by his might flips the tables to elevate them to a position of honor. God, throughout human history, has done and continues to do the unexpected. And throughout history, people meet the unexpected actions of God with one of two responses: faith or disbelief. The faith of Mary and the disbelief of Zechariah have much to teach us. We see in these two individuals the ways that Israel has responded to God throughout history. Looking back into the Old Testament, Abram believed God when God said that God would make him a great nation, that God would provide him an heir when he was old and Sarah barren. Mary even references this in her song. She talks about the covenant that God makes with Abram. It's a promise of land, home, the promise of progeny, and the promise that God will always be with them, Emmanuel. The people of Israel did not believe God could deliver them into the promised land and were forced to wander in the wilderness for an additional 40 years. David believes as a young boy that God will deliver Goliath into his hands. The army of Israel and Philistia scoff. Today I'm wondering how we see God doing the unexpected. God did not stop working 2,000 years ago, but is working still. Martin Luther believed that the Reformation was possible and necessary. God worked through him in unexpected ways to continue the growth of God's church. Teresa of Calcutta believed that loving children in need was to show them the face of God. She believed that God worked through her to bring healing to the hungry and meek of the world. Martin Luther King Jr. believed in a truly free America. Hearing God's call on his life, he led a movement which has gotten us closer to that goal than any in history. Pope Francis makes his life's work advocating for the poor. In fact, he took the name Francis after St. Francis of Assisi, of whom he said, "He brought to Christianity an idea of poverty against the luxury, pride, vanity of the civil and ecclesiastical powers of the time. He changed history." In each of these people and situations, God does the unexpected. And those who believe that this unexpected can happen respond in joy. You see, joy is one of the fruits of faith. Joy is the fruit of believing the unbelievable, by believing that God will do the unexpected. Joy is something greater than happiness, though happiness comes with joy. Joy is deeper. It goes deep into our souls, penetrates us in ways that are sometimes hard to describe. But we know it when we feel it. The joy of Mary as she sings God's praise, echoing the history of Israel, bears witness to her deep faith that God will act and does act in unexpected ways for those who are oppressed and marginalized. God lifts up the lowly. The small town of Nazareth is the last place that Israel expected to find a great leader, let alone the Messiah. And yet, it is to this small backwater town that God comes and makes God's home among humans. Where have you seen God? Where have you heard God speaking the unexpected into your lives? God is continually concerned with the lowly. So as we look for God this Advent season, maybe we need to look in the places where the lowly dwell. Sometimes we feel uncomfortable in those spaces. It's hard to be confronted with our plenty juxtaposed against another's lack. But those backwater places, those places where we would think God would not dare enter, are the very places where we will find God most present. Jesus came to a world in need, to a people in need, body, mind, and soul. It is in those humble places of the world where we often find the risen Christ, those unexpected places. So be open to the unexpected. Be open to encountering Christ not only within these walls, because he surely is here, but also out in the world. Look for him in the eyes of the homeless person you meet on the street. Look for him in the eyes of the new immigrant. Look for him in the person struggling with addiction. Look for him among the mentally ill. Look for him among the elderly. Look for him where you least expect to find him. And be ready. Be ready to see him there. As we prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus tomorrow, think about Mary and about Zechariah. How might you receive the unexpected news that God is still working in backwater towns around the world? How will you respond to God in those instances of unbelievable joy? It is my prayer that each of us may experience anew the joy of Mary, the joy of a young mother-to-be whom God has chosen to bear his own son and bring salvation to the world. It is my prayer that each of us will not hold that joy to ourselves, but that we will join in Mary's song as we welcome the Christ child in the manger and eagerly await his return. Friends, this Advent season is not only about the child who once came, but about the risen Christ who will one day return. It is the season where we look for where God is still at work in the world around us. It is where we look for God in the unexpected. As we prepare to celebrate tomorrow, Let us magnify God as Mary magnifies God. Let us praise God for the way that God cares for those in need and flips the tables in unexpected ways. May we not be mute Zechariahs who doubt God's ability to break into this hurting world. Instead, let us sing or shout or dance with joy at God's inbreaking. May our souls magnify the Lord, and may we bring him honor and glory. May we have eyes to see God working still in those unexpected places. And when we see, may we lift our praise to God for these most unexpected gifts. Amen.